Hey brokers, don't miss AIM Activate. Get ready to experience a brand new interactive event designed to help you attract, engage, and retain your audience with expert marketing techniques. Join us on Thursday, March 5th in Irvine, California for a hands-on workshop designed to enhance your marketing skills. Head over to aimgroup.com/activate to get your tickets. Hey, welcome to Broker to Broker. This podcast is all about real talk from one broker to another. Each week, we'll be talking with an AIM member about their journey into the broker channel, their challenges, and unique insights. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. All right, you ready?
I'm ready.
All right, cool. Welcome to Broker, brought to you by AIM, Association of Independent Mortgage Experts. I am your host, JP Hussey of the Hussey Team Mortgage Advisors, and today we have my boy Ryan Ayler.
Hey, what's going on?
Yeah, hey, of Price Mortgage, right?
Price Mortgage,
what's going on, man?
Hey, not much. Glad to be here.
Yeah, I know we were talking a little bit about Philly before we jumped on here, but first time in Philly?
Second time in Philly.
Second time. When was the first time?
When we had the Atlantic City event.
Oh, yeah.
We landed here and then drove in. So.
I don't think we officially met then.
I don't think so either.
I was there too, but you know it gets crazy at those events.
Oh yeah.
And Fuse, you're at Fuse, right?
I was at Fuse.
But this is the first time we met. Everyone's running hard. But you were telling me about the honking.
Yeah, I was trying to figure it out because like the honking doesn't make anything better, but it's like
in Philly. We're talking about Philly.
In Philly,
you're driving around the city. You're getting honked at constantly.
Right. And so I was like starting to listen. It's almost like a little language. Like you get the long beep,
yeah,
and then you get like a double. And then there's a single, and like everybody's talking to each other through the horn.
Yeah, but like I said, we're aggressive up front, but we love you even more on the back end, man. That's how we do it in Philly. But let's get to know you a bit better.
Sure.
I mean, like we said, we're winging this. It's the best way to do it, I think, when getting to know someone. So we didn't speak much, so I want to get to know you. Arizona. What part of Arizona?
So where I live now, Mesa, Arizona, born and raised. That's where I'm from.
Nice.
So
where is that in relation to like Phoenix or 20, Scottsdale?
25 minutes out from both.
Okay.
Yeah. Just in the
suburbs. You're right there.
Yeah. Everything's really close in the city.
Okay. Because there's a lot of desert.
In between, like, yeah, if you're outside of the metro area, there's a lot of desert.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Cool. So your wife is Jessica, right?
Yep.
I follow her a bit too.
She's my partner.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I want to get. I think that's really cool. I want to get into that in a little bit. But yeah, that's awesome. I really want to dive into that. Because that's just cool, man, to have that whole dynamic. And it's different. It can be tough. You see it in this industry.
Oh, yeah.
But I want to dive into that. But tell me a little bit about, well, I guess, how long has Jessica been in the industry? Because I know you're a couple years at this point, right?
Yeah, I'm like 2.5 years, and she is not quite a year yet.
Okay. All right. So you were the first one.
I was
really
the first one,
yeah. All right. So when I'm doing some research on you, did you own a gym after college, right?
Yep.
How long did you own that for?
I think it was about 7 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then what drove you to say, I'm not doing this anymore? Or you might still have some partnership. You're away from that
completely
right now.
Completely done with that.
Okay.
One of our long-term clients was in mortgage.
Okay.
And he goes, you guys have this gym behind a building with no sign, and it's always packed.
Uh-huh.
He's like, with your social media skills, if you came and did mortgage, you could help more people, and you would actually be able to retire.
Okay.
And so I said, tell me more. And after we had a conversation, the very next day I registered for, you know, doing all the licensing
right.
and everything like that.
So that's cool. Yeah. A lot of people, most people in this industry, they get in. It's not a pointed thing where they're like, I'm going to go to college for finance.
Right.
Then I'm going to, you know, get my license. I'm going to get into mortgages. It's always meeting someone that says, you would probably be good at this.
Right.
And then kind of getting you in.
So and I do have an MBA, but but that does not help me be a better mortgage broker.
Right. No, it doesn't.
No, not at all.
It's really people skills.
Right.
And getting problem to know. Problem solving. It's like a puzzle, really, putting a loan together.
Right.
And then making sure the person you're talking to trusts you.
Right.
Like legitimately, like authentically.
And what's a little different about me is, you know, I owned a business, but I didn't really own a business. I owned a job.
Okay.
And so I vowed to myself, when I go into this,
cool,
I'm not going to create another job for myself. I'm going to create a business.
Okay.
And I had a lot of pushback on that. Because
a lot of haters or just people saying you're not going to do it or?
No, it's just internally, they want you to do it their way. You sit at the desk for 12 hours a day and make phone calls. Mm-hmm. And I was like, that's not how you grow a business.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I was like, you need to know how mortgage works, but you don't need to know what buttons to push, right?
Cool.
So I said, who can I pay a premium to do the back end of loans for me? And they said, it doesn't work that way.
Okay.
You need to do everything.
And this is when you got into the retail. So yeah. Could you tell us who you got in with first?
I was
and
with
your, kind of your journey till
Academy
now?
Mortgage.
Okay, Academy.
For a year.
Yep.
And then
big
Fairway
okay.
for 6 months.
Just and weren't feeling it. You were getting
just
a lot
so
of...
Just so much pushback. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I know I can do it my way. I don't need to know how to run an LOS, you know, get in there and do the system. I don't need to know how to pull credit.
You can find the right people that are better at it than you.
Because
using your strengths, right?
When you do everything, you're crappy at everything.
Yeah.
But if you specialize, you're good. Uh-huh. And I know I'm good at marketing and sales. So if I can focus on that, I can serve more people better and have less problems because I have someone that all they do is mortgage, you know,
right.
Pushing the buttons. Like mm-hmm. they make sure that everything's done correctly, that nothing is skipped. Because, you know, me being new in the business, if I'm doing everything, I'm gonna mess up a lot of loans.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Right.
And I'm glad you're saying that. You're saying, listen, I know I'm fairly new into the business.
Yeah.
And I know I'm learning certain things like we all are. I don't care if you're 25 years in the business, you're learning every day. But you're like, listen, I'm gonna get the right people that know what they're doing, right?
But
and you're upfront about it.
Here's the crazy thing is when we did it our way, we don't miss closings.
Right.
Like I know people that have been doing this for 15 years and they miss almost every closing.
Yeah.
Because they have too many plates spinning.
Mm-hmm.
I have two, marketing and sales. That's it. That's all. I only have two plates spinning.
Cool.
And so to make it work, I had to bring my wife on,
mm-hmm.
you know, kind of going into that. And she is very detail oriented, mm-hmm. whereas I am not. And in the back end of loans, you do have to be extremely organized and detail oriented, color charts, like, where everything's at, timeline, making mm-hmm. sure. And that's why things don't close on time is because the timelines aren't met. It's not that the loan can't close. It's, oh.
That's a good point.
Shoot. We have a waiting period. CD's not going
to
go out.
There's always a way to get a loan done.
Right.
For the most part, right?
But on time.
But on time is the key, right?
Right. And so I learned early that to keep your relationships with the consumer and your realtor partners, you need to close on time early.
I have to.
Yeah. And so what's amazing is that my wife was able to learn because she got thrown into the fire when we went to broker, mm-hmm. if someone went out of town and they gave her 12 loans in like her first month.
Yeah, yeah.
And so she was scrambling and she learned so much and she closed them all on time.
Nice.
And where I'm at with Price is the support group is insane. Like there's so much knowledge there. Like if I was just by myself and try to open my own shop, I'd mm-hmm. be lost.
Yeah, so tell me a little bit about that. So you don't own Price.
Nope.
Right? But you figured out the retail side was probably not the best spot for you.
Right.
There was too much going on, whatever it may be, right?
Right. I mean,
we could talk retail versus broker all day.
Right.
So then how did you find Price?
So I actually got recruited by, they had someone else that was in the shop at that time and he was just doing all recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
And so he courted me for like a year. And I, you know, what do they tell you at retail? Ah, brokers suck. They can't close on time. Uh-huh. They have a bad stigma. You're going to lose all your partners. Uh-huh. You're not going to do any business, right?
We've all heard
so
it.
I was scared because I didn't know any better. And I finally was just fed up with what I was being. I'm like, well, I'm not getting it done where I'm at here.
Mm-hmm.
So I went over and I was like, my eyes were just open. I was like, this is a whole new world.
Yeah.
This is what I've been looking for. So I have all the support of retail where I'm at. So we have a marketing department. They handle all of our compliance.
Cool.
They have our websites built for us. Like everything you get at retail, but I get here and I get better compensation than at retail.
Yeah.
And since I work for Andy and Price, so I don't have to worry about.
It's all coming together. So
I don't have to worry about all the back end stuff of owning your own shop and getting all the lines set up and compliance and audits and all that. Like,
that's not you.
I don't do any of that.
Yeah, I mean, to be quite honest with you, that's what I'm doing right now. So we open up our own. I've been in this industry 9 years. Just in earlier this year, we decided to open up our own shop. I'm pretty big on social media. I've done a lot with that. You know, I've always had this brand, but it was also always under retail. And we jumped in, and I'm like, screw it. This is my last shot in the mortgage industry. We're going all in with this. Me and my brother right now and my almost brother-in-law, Jake. And But I'm doing a lot right now. Mm-hmm. And we're in that growth phase of where do we have to hire, right?
Right.
So this might be, I might hit you up outside of this and see what your operation's like, because I'm trying to get as much info as I can.
Right.
But you nailed it. Like, I'm not burned out, but I'm doing a lot.
Right. You're going to get burned out.
I'm going to. Yeah, I mean, I've been in this industry long enough that you get burned out. Yeah.
To me, it's choosing where your strengths are and doubling down on those, mm-hmm. and then where your weaknesses are, finding somebody where those are their strengths.
Yep.
My wife hates marketing sales with a passion.
Okay.
She has a very good mind for what should be done, but the implementation, actually doing it, she doesn't want to do. So she comes up with all of our ideas, and then I just do it.
You do it.
Right.
Okay.
She takes care of all the back end. We have in-house processing, which is amazing. So mm-hmm. Andy has, I think, 4 or 6 processors now. So everything's just all in-house. And then you know how it is with navigating your lenders. You find the ones that work well with you, and mm-hmm. you stick with those, and it's smooth sailing.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about the operation then, right? Would you say, for lack of a better term, more the rainmaker right now?
Yes.
Okay. But the brains, like it always is the female.
Right.
Right, Jessica,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So she has a lot of the ideas.
She comes up with all the ideas.
You're the doer.
The branding.
Right, the branding. Oh, cool. Yeah.
All the coloring, like everything we do is by design.
Nice,
the
okay.
The bow tie,
mm-hmm.
pink is our main color.
Uh-huh.
Everything.
The t-shirts you have.
Yes.
I Love Mortgages, which
right.
is cool. And we'll get to that in a bit. So you have, you're up top, right?
Yep.
You got, I don't want to say you're on top, but...
I'm
that's
first
you.
Point of contact. Right.
First point of contact. Then you have Jessica. So yep. what does she do besides all the other things?
So she does all of my like pre-quals.
Okay.
Making sure someone's actually qualified, running DU, giving me the green light. Hey, they're good to go up to this
cool.
amount, all the details. But then I take that back to the client and the realtors. Mm-hmm. And so anything client facing before we go under contract is all me.
Okay.
And then delivering of good news and bad news. Hopefully not very much bad news.
Sure.
We've been lucky
but there,
with that.
There is. You
there's
know.
Sometimes.
Sure.
Is me.
Okay.
So if there's things that is more relationship, it's me. But
okay.
if it's about the process of the loan, very technical questions, documents, that's her.
Mm-hmm.
And so she'll call on those things. So I don't do that. I don't hunt down any documents.
Okay.
Unless that person won't, you know, you
yeah.
get those borrowers that only respond
yeah, you do
to
what you sure.
Me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I text them or call them, and text is where it's at now.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, haven't all got that. This from you. Can you hop in there in the next hour or so? Yep, I'm on it.
Yeah.
And so I take care of that. And then...
So she's almost like a LOA for the most part. Like,
right.
kind of like that, just for lack of a better whatever, because
right.
everything's changing.
The only difference is she does the pre-quals. A lot of loan officers do their pre-quals, but to me, that's very time-consuming.
Sure.
And that's actually our next hire, is because she doesn't enjoy that either. Is our first hire is going to be someone that does mostly the upfront pre-qualification and then just helping her with the back end.
Got it.
Because it can be very time consuming, because mm-hmm. sometimes you get a lot of stuff through that just isn't ready now,
mm-hmm.
but you got to give them a plan.
Plan's
right?
so important, yep.
So you got to give them a plan, and you're not getting paid on this plan. So if you're utilizing your time to do that instead of going out and getting new business, you're wasting a bunch of valuable time. So you mm-hmm. need to have somebody, in my opinion, that's doing that for you, and then you can deliver the message, because it takes you 5-10 minutes to deliver a message.
Yeah.
It takes that person 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, depending on how messy the situation is, to run, you know, a credit repair analysis
yeah.
and
oh, so
we need
much.
This much money saved up and blah, blah, blah. You know, you can go on and on scenario-wise.
Yeah, I really appreciate you brought that up, because you're spending time with, you realize that every client's situation is different.
Right.
And it might be like when you own the gym, right? Everyone has a different workout plan,
it's
right?
Exactly.
Everyone,
like it.
So you kind of correlate a little bit both sides, right?
Right.
So I'm glad you brought that up with saying, listen, I'm running hard. I'm doing a ton of marketing. I'm doing this. But we're not just all marketing. We have to have quality, because if the quality is not there, you can't market correctly, right?
Right.
Yeah, 100%. So I'm glad you brought that up.
So the only time that I get into the weeds, I guess you would say, is just a quick like scenario. Someone wants to do a refi. Mm-hmm. Hey, give me your mortgage statement. I'll go in there, price it out real quick. Say, hey, here's roughly where we're at. Is this something you want to move forward with? And then once I get past that, then it's all handed
then
off.
Then it's there. Cool.
Yeah.
And if you don't mind me asking, about how many units you think you guys will do this year?
I think we should do over 50.
Nice. That's awesome.
So we started off real slow.
Well, when did you start with Andy?
Just about a year ago.
About, okay.
So
cool.
The first 6 months were rough, because mm-hmm. we didn't know anything about
yeah.
broker.
Yeah.
Right. So we we're lucky to do one deal a month, you know, in the beginning. And so that was a stressful part, that transition. But then once we're in, every month it just is growing and growing,
snowballing.
Yeah. So now we're getting up to speed and things are really starting to fall into place.
Yeah.
And it's just nonstop people finding out who we are and things.
Well, now you have momentum.
Momentum.
So now you're even more confident in yourself to be out there even more because you know you have the back end in a spot. You're obviously going to constantly evolve and make it better.
Right.
Because watching you and knowing you're at units wise, I mean, you guys are just going to continue to explode in a competitive market in Arizona.
Very, very competitive.
I had Todd Bitter on last week, I think it was, a bunch of people. And I mean, and they're great people too.
Right.
And that's what's great about this industry. There's so much business.
And there's a lot of support.
Ton of support.
So in terms of the broker network, is nobody's like trying to push you down because we're different.
Mm-hmm.
We serve different markets and we have different personalities. And there, like you said, there's so much business, especially in our market. It's competitive, but there's a lot of business to be had.
Oh yeah, there's a ton.
And you know, I learned that from Todd, is like we are picking and choosing what we're good at and referring out internally the stuff. Like I don't do non-QM.
Right.
I can't even tell you countless hours on those deals and they don't close. So we just hand those off
because they
just don't, they're not ROI positive for me.
Yeah, and there's people out there that specialize in non-QM.
Right.
So let's do right by the consumer. Let's just get it to them and make sure they're good.
That's
what I love about this channel right now. And really, I think where the whole industry is going is everyone is trying to help each other out. I'm seeing less competition from one LO to another. There's going to be competition from the big bank to the broker. We see all that. But there's less competition. Everyone's trying to help each other out because it's such a tough industry.
Right.
You know?
Right.
All right. Let's pivot here.
Okay. Because
I want to get into more your strengths like we talked about, right? Let's really dive into the marketing side. This is the fun stuff. This is what I love too.
It's
what
you
love.
Too. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if you saw when you walked in, you may miss it, but I've been doing the t-shirt thing for like 7 years now.
Oh, nice.
So I have a big, our logo, the Hussy team, hop on the Huss bus to home ownership. Every year we get new shirts. I believe it's a team effort between everyone involved in the transaction. That's why we're called the Hussy team.
Mm-hmm.
But we get the name, or I'm sorry, the number of the year on the back of each shirt. So they know when they purchase, blah, blah, blah.
That's really
so
cool.
So I love this stuff, you know? 7 years ago, I'm like, screw this. I don't like cold calling realtors.
Right.
And I don't feel comfortable doing it. And they don't like it either.
No.
So this doesn't feel right. I'm going all in with social media, Facebooks, you know, Instagram, everything.
I'm the same.
LinkedIn's back in a big way.
Right.
So for a couple of years, it sucked.
Right.
Now it's back. This is where I'm getting excited because this is what I love to do too.
Mm-hmm.
So let's talk about, I know Jessica's kind of the brains maybe,
right.
But when did you, well, step back. The gym, you were always doing it as well.
Right.
Right. So you kind of took it from that side of the business to this business, right?
Yeah, I mean, when I started the gym, I was broke.
Okay.
I had nothing, so I had to learn everything.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just constantly studying the craft of marketing and sales, and then learned how to build websites, and then learned how to do photo, and then editing, mm-hmm. and then video, and then it just kind of snowballed from there.
Yeah, yeah. So you started at the gym. Now you took it over to here.
Yep.
Who came up with the bow tie?
Jessica.
I want to talk about some of the things. Because with marketing, like you know, you can be out there, you're posting enough content, but there's things that people remember you by.
Right.
And let's be honest, a couple of them are bow tie and the t-shirts, right?
Yes.
And I remember seeing something like, hey, I want to get everyone a t-shirt, but I have to set up like a store or something because it's getting out of control.
It's getting out of control.
Yeah, yeah. Same thing with the Huss bus shirts. It's like, man, I brought in like 25 today.
And that's why Anthony hit me up and he's like, we'll just help you.
Yeah, cool. That's awesome. Yeah, so the support from AIM's been
huge.
Been great.
Yeah.
I mean, we could talk about that all day and everyone here is amazing. But the marketing side, right? To get back into that. I walked in, you're getting pretty nerdy with our boy Ricky back here.
Yeah.
Right? So you're doing a lot of the editing.
100%.
You're doing everything. What's your goal when you wake up each day? Is it like, I have to get some content out there? Is there a number? Is it reactionary or is it more proactive?
Both. So we try to have like a monthly produced video that we come up with and throw that out there. But then the day-to-day is more of just, I just want to feel, what am I feeling? What scenarios am I going through? And how can I best impact, you know, my followers?
Okay.
And so a lot of it's just ad lib. and then just boom, it pops up. But in terms of the branding, that's all methodical. So like okay. Jessica, you know, I started wearing the nice suit because she's like, I want you to be nice. You know, you've always wanted a nice suit. We're going to get you a nice suit.
Yeah,
and then
yeah.
people notice it. And then she's like, I want to get you a bow tie. And then people really notice it. And we're like, oh, that's so a lot of it's just throwing things against the wall. And then they just happen to stick.
Yeah.
And then I was okay, totally the bow tie's a thing. And I like it. It works for me. So I use that. And then I start getting into the shirts and she's like, oh, shirts are cool, but I don't know. So like, she wasn't really sure on it.
We have to try things out. Right?
So, you know, I made a shirt, ordered it, bring it in. And then all of a sudden it just kind of took off. And as soon as I did the shirt, I don't even have to say that I'm mortgaged because the shirt says it for me.
Yep.
So now my content doesn't have to be so much mortgage based mm-hmm. when I'm wearing the I Love Mortgage shirt. So it's a subtle hint.
Yeah.
Always in the back of people's minds what I do, but I'm not as aggressive in putting mortgage content out anymore because I don't have to.
You don't have to anymore.
No. And I'm known as the mortgage guy to my people.
And mortgages can be boring.
Yes. So and if you're, we want to make it fun.
Yeah, if you're killing everyone with mortgage and, oh, here's what an FHA loan is, like, people are like, come on, man. Right?
Right.
A little bit. So you're really mixing it.
Yeah.
I try to tell a lot of, or what I do is, here's what I do to give you an idea of my day. I try to get something out before 9 a.m.,
mm-hmm.
some content. Doesn't have to be. It's usually not.
And that's a tip for everybody out there is if you post in the morning, you're going to get more love on that post.
You're going to get more love, right? So before 9, try to get something around noonish, mm-hmm. right? And then after 5.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you're getting the most engagement
right.
that I've seen, and I'm sure with you Same. As well. But I really go into it very reactionary. I know my setup for the day. But I don't want to be too regimented.
Scripted, right?
Right. I just want to see what comes into my brain and let's put it out there.
And so I'm the same way, but we are going to start throwing in some things that are more regimented.
Like I totally get that too, yeah.
Mortgage Mondays are mm-hmm. going to happen. So starting the new year, we're shooting a bunch of content and it's just going to be the Mortgage Minute. Mortgage under a minute, some topic, boom, 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 get it out. And then we started doing Hump Day, Lunch Day. So every Wednesday, as much as possible, we try to go out and like have lunch somewhere and kind of review the place and okay. then talk real quick one piece of mortgage.
Okay.
And so those are the two like
set it mixes things. It all together mm-hmm. where it's not just mortgage, but we're doing something and let's kind of loop it back in to make sure people know what we're doing.
Right. And to make sure they know, I usually say Hump Day, Lunch Day, and then the place we're at, maybe what we're eating. And then underneath that, it's the topic we're going to cover in terms of mortgage. Because some people don't want the mortgage stuff that day. So we deliver what they want first. And the people that want to stick around for the mortgage stuff.
I like that. So you deliver what they want first, give it to them. And then if they want it, it's here for you. But I'm not shoving that down.
You can stick around for this.
And I heard we're doing some sort of cheesesteak thing. So it's not hump day. It's Thursday, right?
It's Thursday. But, and Jessica's super jealous.
Oh,
she's like, that's my thing. I can't believe you get to do this.
I know you might be able to ship out cheesesteaks.
Really?
In Philly, yeah. You might be able to get one to Arizona. They put it in a nice package. And
I might have to do that because they're not going to let me take it on the plane, I don't think.
Put you on the spot. You know, Jessica's going to be mad now if you don't. But
yeah, I'm going to have to mail her like 5 different sandwiches.
Yeah, do it up. Yeah. All right, so that's cool. So you're reactionary to let your brain flow.
Yep.
But you're also getting more regimented with when you're going to deliver the content.
Right.
So people can get in that routine of, oh, it's hump day, lunch day.
Yeah.
I have to go find Ryan and Jessica, right? And then they tune in, and that's how you really gain a following, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. If we want to get a bit nerdy, too, because I'm trying to give some content to everyone out there that follow you mm-hmm. and want to take a piece of what you're doing for their own business. What type of setup do you have for the video? Is it more iPhone? Do you have other cameras?
Everything.
Depending. Okay.
Everything. So, yeah, I'm super nerdy. I just started the YouTube page. It's under my name, Ryan Ayler.
Yeah, I saw that.
So I just get so many questions. I thought it'd be more time effective and better if people had a central place to go to where I can deliver what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't have to message like 100 people individually.
Okay.
And so the main setup I have now is a GoPro.
Okay.
Believe it or not. So... it just, the audio is superb. The video quality is superb, 4K. And as long as you're outside in good light, it's just a monster.
Mm-hmm.
Indoors, not as good unless you have a lot of lighting set up.
Okay.
So that kind of goes into that. Lighting is key for video quality. The easiest thing you can get is one of those beauty ring lights because then you just need
I've seen them.
One thing, you know, put your GoPro right in the middle of it. you're going to get some pretty good light. Next step up would be a cell phone. So you'll do your cell phone videos. If I want something out quick, fast, don't want to edit, just hit the cell phone up. I usually do it live in that case because I don't want to edit at all.
Okay.
Just want to get something
you're going
out there.
All in.
Yeah. It's more of like if something's at the top of my mind or I just want to share an idea, but I want it to be real and from me and not produced, I just go live.
Okay.
And then when I really get nerdy, I have the Sony a7 III camera. And so I have a 16mm 1.4, a 50mm 1.8, and an 85mm 1.8. Whoa. So those are my three lenses. The 16mm is like my go-to.
And this is for video?
This is for video. Okay. Yep, and photo.
And photo, right.
Right, and that's why I like that hybrid. The photos are just insane on that camera, and so is the video. And so I've had some, up until now, some really cheap kind of softbox lighting. I think you can get a kit for like $40. You get the two lights coming down at two angles, 45 degrees, pretty good lighting. And so now I'm getting into more like studio type lights that have like a soft, like a big soft box, just produce more power so that I have the ability in darker situations or, you know, if I want to turn all the lights off and then have a cool background,
okay,
you know, have another light with a color, I can do those things now. So it's just, I think a lot of people think that they need all the perfect setup to start, but I started with just the cell phone.
Yeah.
Then the GoPro, then the camera. And I wouldn't go with the expensive camera because they take more work. There's one, the Olympus MK. ME1 something. I don't know what it is. But it has a flip around screen. The color out of it's amazing. It's a micro four thirds, so the lenses are smaller. Everything's cheaper. For if someone wants a camera, that's what I would start with.
Okay.
Because you go full frame, everything's more expensive.
But it's also just about doing it too, right? So if you don't have whatever, the cash, or you don't want to figure that out,
use a cell phone.
Use a cell phone.
Yeah.
But you're saying audio and lighting
and audio,
just key, right?
Lighting and the audio is probably more important than the lighting.
Okay.
So what I got was the Rode.
Wireless Go
is what it is.
Okay.
And so you can just plug that in.
Yeah, I have one of them.
And then you have the wireless part that goes on you, so you don't have to sync the audio in post. It just goes right into your phone. It goes right into your camera, so it's all synced. And it has a built-in microphone, too, so you don't even need a lavalier mic. I usually put a lav on there if I want to hide it. If it's just I don't need to hide it, then just stick it in my shirt and just roll.
And this is just roll. And this is when you're kind of sitting down, or is this on the go?
Both.
Yeah. Okay.
And I do have
I see you on the go a lot.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering if that's just
and
phone
I do have like a boom mic that I'll use too in the house. And it really just depends on the situation.
Okay.
But for the most part, I mean, and if I'm in a pinch, I just say just use the cell phone. I mean, the cell phones are so good now.
Yeah, right.
The audio quality is usually good unless you're in a huge ginormous room. If you're in a huge ginormous echoey room, you gotta put a lavalier mic on.
Okay.
If you're in your car, you can just, you know, throw up the phone. You don't need any attached audio.
Yeah.
But like my house where it's real echoey, I gotta have some mic or it just sounds like trash.
And you have kids too, right?
Yeah.
So they're running around, which kind of makes it cool sometimes. Yeah. You get a little kid in the background.
So I plan that out. Everything's planned. Like I know what I want to deliver when I come up with the idea. And so if I want to incorporate my kids, then we're not hiding anything. Like the kids are in it. But if I have something that I don't want them distracting, then I time it when they're at school. I don't have to worry about them screaming and yelling. And like if I'm doing a tutorial, people don't want to hear the kids screaming and yelling.
Yeah.
But if I'm telling a story and it's about kids, family, then you want that atmosphere.
Yeah.
So you have them involved and they like being involved.
Oh yeah. I mean, I used to, when I started in the industry, I have three kids. So it's complete chaos.
Yeah, me too.
So you know how it is.
Yeah.
When I started, my wife would be at work, and I'm at home working. I have, you know, just Trip, my oldest, when he was little. And I remember being on the phone, and he'd be crying. And you know how many deals I got because the baby was crying? Because I'm like, I'm at home, I'm watching them, and they're like, oh, sold. You know? I mean, I hate saying use your kids, but hey, you got to pay for their diapers and their clothes somehow, you know? Get them involved. And that's the future of...
And they're part of your life.
And they're part of your life anyway. Right, exactly. Yeah, that's cool. I'm sure you're cool with this, but if anyone wants to get your simple setup for starting to do more video, I'm sure they can hit you up, right? And you can give them, you know, some of the technology that you spoke about.
Definitely.
Am I good over here? All right. I want to dive into some life work balance, right? Mm-hmm. Now, you owned a gym.
Right.
You still work out. You're still in shape, right?
Right.
You have three kids, right? How tough has it been in this industry and having the whole family dynamic as well?
The beginning was even tougher.
Okay.
But we've kind of made a commitment to ourselves to not work as much as we did at the gym. So we try not to work more than 5 or 6 hours a day.
Okay.
Which is like the exact opposite of what most people in this industry are doing. They're working between 10 and 12. And it's more about the quality than it is the quantity. Could we do more deals? Yes. But we're just trying to not burn out. And we try to use our time wisely so that we can work out, hang out with the kids, do our work. And then once that the business catches up even more, we're going to hire right away.
Okay.
So when we hire, we're already knowing we're not going to make any more money during the short term, you know, because more money's coming in, but we're giving up a lot of that towards our hire.
Yeah, you're investing in yourself and your business.
It keeps our work life where we want it to be. So we have a number that we want to make for our family, and that's our budget. And anything above that is gravy, but we don't need more, right? And so when we made that commitment, it's not about more. It's about serving our community, mm-hmm. but then also serving ourselves. And that's been huge for us to be able to keep the energy flowing and not burn out.
I love that. So you were very proactive, and maybe this was Jessica, the brains, right?
Right.
Is for everyone out there that is in the mortgage industry, has a bunch of kids, it's chaotic whether you're in the industry or not, right? But the mortgage industry is chaotic. What sounds like you guys did was you're very pointed with this. You got your budget. Here's what we need for our family to survive.
Right.
Right. And this is what I do as well. Here's the nut we need.
Mm-hmm.
Here's how many deals we have to do to make this, right?
Right.
Breaking it down. Here's how many hours we want to work because we want to spend time with our kids.
Right.
We don't want to burn out. We want to family first. I mean, it has to be family first. But you came up with a plan, and it sounds like you're sticking to it, even
right.
in an industry that can pull you a billion directions.
And
you have to be.
Right, and it doesn't mean there's not times where we do have to grind and
sure,
do a 12-hour day.
I get
day,
that, right.
But for the average, we try not to work, you know, more than that six-hour threshold because I feel like a lot of people work a long day because they're not utilizing their time.
Yeah.
And, like, Jessica does not get on Facebook. That's not her job. That's my job. At night, when it's her free time, she does. But that's why you don't see her replying and posting and interacting during the middle of the day, because if she did that, she would have a 12-hour workday instead of a six.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, I mean, I see it. I know you guys are doing it, because I see everybody that is still in the weeds and they're posting as much as I am. And you can't do that forever.
And they're running the back end of the business.
And they're running the back end.
Yeah.
They're like, someone asked me, how do you have time? I was like, I got a Jessica. So if you don't have a Jessica, you got to hire Jessica.
You got to hire a Jessica. Right.
Right.
Right. Right.
Wow.
Yeah, so you've been very pointed, and it's funny, right when we started this conversation, we were talking about burnout.
Right.
And it just came back around.
Right.
And I'm sure you've learned from past things, like, I don't want to burn out again, if you ever have.
Oh, I have.
You have. And it's a horrible feeling. We've all been there.
And once you burn out, it's really hard to get back.
Yeah,
if ever.
It takes months. It can take months to get back, right?
Mm-hmm.
So let's pivot to there then. Owning the gym. You're in good shape.
Right.
How important is it to you to make sure you exercise and keep your body, your
huge.
Your diet all in?
Hardest part's the diet.
Okay.
Because we are in a stressful business, mm-hmm. and there's a lot going on.
We're having cheesesteaks in an hour.
Right. So that's probably the thing that we're working on the most now, is it's just you have so many moving pieces that you're still busy, right? And there's still a lot going on. It's easy just to go grab dinner. So we're trying to incorporate that more of like more home cooked meals. Cause before it was mostly Jessica at home, me at the gym. She would help me at the gym sometimes, but then she took care of all the home. But now it's both of us, you know, it's and having three kids. But I've noticed the biggest impact has been the food. Having bad food, you don't have the energy.
So important, especially as you get older.
And
how old are you right now?
35.
All right. Yeah. I'm 36. So
it's more important than the exercise.
Okay.
So I think like you have to exercise, but the diet is more important because it's like that's your energy. So if you're eating junk, you get junk out. And then just condensing my workouts into like 3 days a week for weights, 2 to 3 days a week for weights, and then 2 to 3 days a week for, I like to ride my bike out in the mountain.
Yeah, yeah. Crash I saw it. A bike here when I walked in. I'm like, did he ride his bike?
I ride it from Arizona.
Yeah, all the way, man. I wouldn't put it past you, though, right? yeah, so that's super important for in this industry or any type of industry that's go, go, go. You got to go release the energy somewhere.
You got it.
You know, and keep.
And I used to be a big drinker.
Okay.
And so I replaced that with the mountain biking.
Okay.
And I feel so much better because you have to have some release because no matter what, this is a stressful business.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what you're doing, it's just stressful. And if you don't have a positive release, you're going to have a negative one.
Oh, yeah.
And so that was a decision that I made because I saw what was happening to the people around me, you know, and you get into that habit.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew that I didn't want to fall into that trap. So I replaced it. And you can't get rid of a bad habit. You have to replace it with a good one.
Yeah. I mean, I would say this industry is known for having a lot of drinkers.
Right.
Because of the stress and the long hours and I don't have time to exercise.
Right.
I'm going to go drink because that's going to curb the anxiety and whatever you have going on. That's huge in this industry. Drinking and drugs, to be completely transparent, you know, it's here. So I like how you said, and it's not easy. But you replaced it.
I replaced it.
You had to find. It's not easy. As just almost going to stop. You mm-hmm. know. Well, you got to replace it because let's be honest. You have to release that somewhere.
Right.
So I think that's important to talk about in this industry. Something that people don't talk about. It's not rampant, but it's a lot in this industry.
Right.
Just replace it with.
And I don't taking have care of people body. Are afraid of getting kickback. I just let them people know like it doesn't. Work for me. Like it just
is what it is.
You know, I started getting a hangover after two drinks.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like whatever, my body just said no more. You get to a certain age, like some people are 60 when it happens. I was 35.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and so I was just like, it's not worth it. I can't be productive.
No.
And so if you can, it's awesome. Like I don't look down on anybody that does.
No, not at all. I'm not here to do that.
To just, judge, right?
But just whatever's worked for working.
Me. Mm-hmm. That worked for me to have that outlet that wasn't drinking.
Yeah.
And I've done weights for so long, it just didn't really do it for me anymore. I mm-hmm. needed something that was just different. And the mountain biking works for me.
Yeah, I really love that you came from that consistent, regimented gym-type background into this in a short amount of time, and you're killing it because working out and that consistency really can lead to this type of industry.
Because
you have to be. Like, you just, all right, so you just replaced what you did there over in the mortgage world.
Yeah.
And now it's better money, like you said.
Right. But we still get to help people.
That's
you're making dreams come true every day.
Mm-hmm.
And being a trusted resource is huge for us. Like, that's how we work the gym. I think in 7 years, we had 2 bad reviews, and it had nothing to do with us.
No. I mean, reviews, that's a whole nother topic. Right? It's crazy.
And so that's the same approach that we take in mortgage, is it's the consumer is number one. If it cost us money to make them happy, then we spend it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we always make it right for the consumer.
It's important.
And holy moly, does it add to more referrals.
Oh, yeah.
When you do it right, you know? Because a bad situation could leave a... I never want to leave a bad taste in somebody's mouth, because there's always things that come up that usually aren't our fault, but who gets blamed?
Always.
We do. Yeah. No matter what. It always comes down to the loan officer. It's our fault. Oh, the appraisal came in late. It's your fault because you need the appraisal.
Yep.
Whatever, right?
It's always on us, as it should be, though,
right?
Because we are controlling it.
So we always, at the end of the day, make sure that we correct that with something that they're going to remember a good thing about us and not a bad thing about us. And that's been huge for our business.
That's awesome. So let's get into that then. Leads. Where are most of your leads coming from? Obviously, you're doing a ton on social media.
100% social media.
100%.
And I don't buy leads anymore.
Yeah.
I used to, but like you said, I'm not a grinder on the phone. I don't grind realtors. I don't grind leads. I stay top of mind. So when I do have conversations with people, I usually friend request them. And if they're not ready now, I don't have to call them weekly. Hey, where are you at? You ready?
Mm-hmm.
They just follow me on social media. And when they're ready, they come back.
They come back.
Hey, I'm ready now.
You don't have to chase.
I don't chase.
It's such a great position to be in.
Slower roll.
But we're long-term here, right? We're long-term guys, right?
So now, you know, when realtors want to work with me, they want to work with me. They don't want to work with my money
mm-hmm.
or whatever. So they see my stuff. That's awesome. And I definitely engage with people, but I don't, like, necessarily pitch them.
Yeah.
If someone's cool, I say, hey, it might be cool to do a video sometime. Hit me up. 90% don't, 10% do. Mm-hmm. And when they do, we go do something together, collaborate. If it's a fit, then we become partners. And if it's not, then we just stay friends. And
that's cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, it's important to note that, yes, you guys are a part of Price Mortgage.
Yes.
And I didn't put two and two. Andy Price, I see him everywhere. He's liking right. a lot of my stuff. And then you told me I put it two and two together here. But it's about you.
And that's how awesome Andy is.
How cool is that, right?
He lets us brand ourselves. So, like, we're the Ayler Lending Team of Price Mortgage, right? Mm-hmm. So just like you would at a broker shop as a realtor, mm-hmm. you brand your team, but it's, you know, powered by. And he's like, you know, very few people let you do that when you work for them.
Yeah, I had that issue for a while where they didn't know what to do with me because I had my own logo, my own brand,
right?
Working at a couple smaller type retail correspondents. And they're like, do we have to set up a DBA? I don't think you can do that. And I'm right. like, well, I'm leaving if I can't do this. I'm going to represent you guys well. We're going to make money, but I have to do it for me.
Right.
That was the reason I went to the broker side because mm-hmm. it's going to allow me to be exactly who I am to everyone and give everything I can to the consumer.
And Andy's like our biggest fan.
Yeah.
Like he's always pumping us up. Like, keep going. I love it. I watch all your stuff. Like, I've never had that support from, like, an owner.
How cool is that, right?
Yeah, it's awesome.
How big is Price, though?
About 40 loan officers.
About 40 loan officers, yeah. processors,
yeah.
right?
4 to 6 processors, 40 loan officers. We usually do between 50 and 75 units a month.
Cool.
Yeah, right. So.
And just licensed in Arizona right now, or you guys are?
Your team? No, so we are Arizona, California, Ohio, and then Price, I think, has...
Ohio?
That yeah. just, yeah. A realtor asked me.
Okay. All right.
Someone asked me to do something. I was like, he's like, I have, you know, boots on the ground there. I don't want to work with okay. anybody else.
It just sounded weird, but I love weird. It. Yeah.
But I was like, okay, yeah, I'll help you out. And then Price has a few more states and they're always expanding.
Okay.
Yeah.
What lenders are you guys using right now on the rotation or obviously it's.
So we all know like UWM.
Yeah.
If it's high loan values, high credit, clean file, I mean, you can get clear to close in 4 days.
Have to go.
Yep. You got to go. So mm-hmm. we go there. If it has any hair on it at all, but still good, Caliber.
Okay.
And if it has a lot of hair on it, it goes to PRMG.
Okay.
And those are our three, like, main two. And PRMG is really good with govies, too.
Okay.
At least for our pricing.
I think it's important to note that you didn't list, and to each their own, right? But especially being fairly newer to the industry, can't have a billion lenders
right
set up in your loan shifter or whatever you use. You're sticking with 1 to 3
yes
and what works for the client. I mean that's what's great about the broker side is people think we don't have control on the broker because it's like broker, it's kind of a dirty word, still throw it against the wall, broker it out,
right?
But we have more control.
Yeah. And for this, you could have a conversation with the underwriters. Like, I've had them call me, hey, we have an issue, want to help you. You know,
I want to get it done. Yeah.
It's awesome.
Yeah. It and you're actually a true teammate of the client, what yes. I found. Because you can actually say, listen, you want this price. I get it. Right. But you also want to close in 15 days. We might want to go here.
Right.
Your decision, though. You mm-hmm. know, it's not just forcing someone into a specific bucket for them. They're going to have options there.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's great.
But we only use 3. As of now.
As of now, right.
Yeah.
And you're not messing with the non-QM.
No,
you know, you're
tried that.
It's,
not for me.
Again, it's really just about working your strengths.
Yep.
And if it's not something that's in your wheelhouse, let's get it to someone else that can handle that for you.
Exactly.
It's really that simple.
Yep.
Yeah, how important is it in this industry or just life in general to keep things simple? I mean, we just talked
huge.
About the 3 kids. And
so, like, if you think about it, it's like I do 2 things in the business. You know, I do roughly 3 things for hobbies. I do mountain biking, lifting, and the camera stuff.
Okay.
But the camera stuff helps me with the business. We use 3 lenders. Like, everything is between...
A lot of threes there, too.
Two or three.
Three kids. Lenders.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't have 3 wives, though. I can't handle more than 1.
No. That's for... to rip everyone, what, in Utah? You can have like 4 to 5 of them. I might get a couple and go.
My wife doesn't listen to this anyway, so I don't have that kind of energy.
Well, it seems like you do, man. You're keeping it up.
Now you're convincing me.
That's great, man. So, yeah, keeping it simple. Now, looks like we got like 10, 15 minutes left, right? Yep. If you're going to tell everyone out there how to get started on social media, it still boggles my mind that some people are, it's okay if you're scared.
Right.
But some people don't think it works.
Your stuff's going to suck in the beginning. Just get used to it.
Yeah.
We all started somewhere. So people are afraid, like, oh, I'm going to look bad. Be you, but like amp it up. You know, like you have to bring the energy for social media. Even if you're tired, you got to bring it. Because people don't want to, hey, it's Monday. What are you guys doing? Like, no, you got to bring the energy. Be you. And the more you practice it, the better it's going to get. And being consistent, I've had problems with that. We all have, where you'll post a bunch and then get burnt out and then post a little. Yep. And so it's just like, for me, my goal is once a day. I need to post at least once a day. And if I can get more, awesome. But if I can't, if I'm busy and things like that, like, I don't stress myself out being like, I have to post at 8, at 12,
right,
at 5. I would like to, and I try to.
And it's in the back of your head.
Yes.
But if you don't, it's okay. Don't put so much pressure on yourself, right?
Once a day, and ideally, like you said, in the morning, because that post gets the longest amount of time to see your morning people, your afternoon people, and then your night people. And then you get usually the most reach out of it.
Okay.
And then in terms of video, is talk about what you're passionate about, what you're good at, and what you like. Scripting just doesn't come off good.
Whether it's mortgages or not, right?
Whether it's mortgages or not.
I think people get, I have to talk about mortgages.
Right.
And this, you don't have to.
No.
Just become a brand of yourself, of who you are, and that will follow because people are going to trust you, right?
And telling stories. Like, usually if I'm talking about mortgages, I'm telling a story about a client. I don't name names. I just talk about, and usually that client watches it and be like, you're awesome. Thanks for helping
out. Do you
friend
a lot of your clients too?
Oh, all of them.
Good.
100%.
Nice.
And, you know, that person knows who they are. You know, I don't have to name them. And then sometimes they'll comment on the post and like, hey, sure, you're awesome. Thanks for helping me out. And so tell stories, because you don't really have to memorize. You lived it. Your client lived it. Just expose it. You know, what's going on.
Yeah. So really, just if you need to get on social media, if you're nervous, just do it.
Just do it.
Because after your first, second, third post, it does get easier. And it gets fun. Can we say that? It's fun.
It's addicting.
It's addicting, and it's fun anyway.
And almost everything you put out, you're not going to be happy with, even at the higher levels. Like, I see stuff and I'm like, oh, I didn't touch on this point. You know, my voice is all nasally today because I have a cold. I got a big old zit on my face. Like, whatever, right? Yeah. There's always something. Like, you get over that stuff. Like, yeah, it's in the back of your head. Like, could have been better. But everything could be better.
Everything could always be better,
but
right?
Done's but better than not doing it, right?
Yeah, done's better than not doing it. I love it.
Yeah.
All right, to end it, one or two things, because you're newer to the industry.
Yep.
Just something simple for everyone that's looking to get into the industry.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what to look for, any type of encouragement of where to start.
Yes. Do not open your own shop.
Okay.
Because you don't, you know, even if you're coming from retail, there's so much to learn. I would say until you're doing at least 20 deals a month, every month, hands down, 20 to 30, don't even think about opening up your own shop.
Got it.
Because when you worry about money and paying all the bills and doing all the stuff, your business tanks.
Can't sell when you're worrying about money.
No. So I would go in with somebody that will support you building your brand. You can go underneath their flag. They take care of all the stuff for you. If they have marketing and things in place, even better, because then your website will be built out.
Yep.
Like, all the stuff that's going to just drag you down, if it's covered, then you can focus purely on building your brand.
Mm-hmm.
If you're not in a position to hire someone right away, see if they have somebody in-house that can LOA for you. And even if you have to pay a premium, you know, maybe even 50 bips, 100 bips for someone to do it, when you're in that position, I would do it. And then once you have enough volume to hire someone, to hire your Jessica, if you don't have a wife that's awesome like mine to do the back-end stuff, then just pay a premium until you can, and then you're going to see a bigger return because once you have enough volume, you hire that person, you have control over where the money's going.
Yeah.
Right? So that would be my biggest thing, is get in. If someone is retail or whatever, they brokers are better in every aspect.
Mm-hmm.
I would say the only thing that we don't do well is DPA.
Yeah, it's a tough one.
But who wants to do a bunch of DPA? I don't think people should be doing it.
Right.
You know? So
that's a whole nother
topic, yeah, right? Yeah. But everything else we do so well. It just really comes down to the structure of the place that you're at. So yeah. I would vet a lot of people before you make that decision of where you hang your license.
And go all in.
All in.
And really it comes back to working your strengths.
Yeah.
And hiring out for things you might not be good at.
And if you're not making time for the marketing, then you're never going to grow. That's why a lot of people are stuck where they're at, because they're just in the weeds doing the loans.
Mm-hmm.
And they're riding that roller coaster of 10 deals 1 month, and then 2 months with one or two deals, and then five loans.
Yeah, it's not consistent.
No. And, you know, we all still ride the roller coaster, but once your marketing's in place, it's
much easier.
You start higher and you don't go as low.
Nice. Well, thanks, dude.
Yeah, thank you.
Appreciate it. Welcome to Philly.
Yeah.
Ryan Ayler, everybody, Price Mortgage. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Broker to Broker podcast. Make sure to subscribe to our channel so you don't miss a single episode. Head over to aimgroup.com/broker to broker and subscribe on any platform where you listen to podcasts.